I thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do here tonight. I thank you, Father God, that even though the devil is showing his ugly face, you are more powerful than he will ever be. And Father God, I know you already have him under your feet, and I already know he's defeated. And we thank you, Father God, that we live and dwell in your presence and under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Well, because of the bulletin, what God spoke in the bulletin, he gave me a prophetic word for the bulletin. Does somebody have one in their hand right now? That's why I'm teaching this tonight. Thank you, Sister Nancy. You want to hand that to me for a second? It was a prophetic word that he gave me just strictly for the bulletin. It's in here somewhere. All right, he says, watch the time zones in this hour, for much will be happening all over this earth, and many things will occur that you have never seen before. So when he said, watch the time zones, after I got this, and I looked up time zone, and I said, God, what are you trying to tell us? So this is the reason why I'm teaching tonight on what time is it, all right? God told me 2 years ago that we were living in the end times, and we were getting the way prepared for the second coming of Jesus, and we would see that fulfilled. Now, I don't know the day or hour. I'm not going to pretend I do. It could be 20 years from now. It could be 50. It could be 100. But God did speak to me and said, we are in the time, and we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The other day, I was sitting, and I was meditating on some of the things God told me. And I heard in my spirit, who does she think she is? Why should we believe everything she says? You don't have to. I just know that I'm called of God, and I just know what God speaks to me. And so when he speaks to me, I'm supposed to give it to the body, right? And I give it to the body. Now, you can either eat it or spit it out or don't even put it in your mouth at all. I don't really care. But this is what he told me. And if we would really look at the times or what's going on around about us, we would understand we are truly living in the last days, and we are supposed to be preparing the world for the last days. We're supposed to already be prepared for it. And, you know, when I said to Sister, and I was talking to Sister Elaine a little bit ago, and I said, you're in God's perfect will. That was God telling her that she's in his perfect will. She's out there on the streets where she's supposed to be ministering to the lost and the dying. And he told us how long ago it's time to go out on the streets and minister to the lost and the dying, because the house doesn't want to hear it no more. Amen. So if you're out there ministering to the lost and the dying, that's where God wants you to be. But if you're just sitting in a church, just warming a seat, then you're not doing too much for the Father. All right, what time is it? The Father is concerned that we know what time it is. And 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, of the sons of Ishgar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, if you read 1 Chronicles 12, you'll see that it was telling about all the men that gathered themselves to David. And the sons of Ishgar gathered themselves to David, and they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And see, this is why God wants us to understand the times, because we need to listen to God's voice and understand what to tell the church and the world what is coming and what they ought to do. I don't care what minute, I don't care if it's the Glow, I don't care if it's your street ministry, I don't care what your ministry is, you are supposed to have an understanding of the times. You are supposed to be hearing God's voice, and you're supposed to be telling the people what they are to do. And Brett and Nancy, you too, when you go out, you should have teaching what you're teaching, you should have an understanding of the times, and God would incorporate that into your teaching. Because the body of Christ needs to be versed in what is going on in the world by God, because they are not understanding the times. Now talking about the men of Ishgar, these were the men from the tribe of Ishgar who served in King David's armies, who were greatly qualified. They understood many important things about fighting for King David and for his kingdom. Who were they fighting for? King David and his kingdom. They joined ranks with King David to fight for him, not to make a place for himself. All right? Among all their qualifications, there was one important qualification which set them apart from the rest of the soldiers. They knew the times, and had understanding of the times and what they must give in that time frame. This is why the body of Christ misses their time with God. You don't understand what God is doing in your life. Now, this is what I do. If I feel in the atmosphere that God is shifting something in my life, I immediately go into prayer, talking to God. God, what is going on around about me? Are you changing just the atmosphere? Are you changing me? Are you trying to get me to do something new? What is it that you would have me do? Right now, there's a shifting in my atmosphere, and I've been before God for 2 days. God, I need to understand what it is that you're doing with me right now. I get awake during the night asking that question to God. I have to have understanding of the times, my times, that I'm walking in with God and what he's having me to do, or I could really walk in a total blanket of confusion. All right? Do you know what time it is? Do you know where the hand on God's clock is pointing? And according to that clock, do you know what time it is and what you must do? What time is it? All right, the first thing we're going to talk about is the exact time. Now, this is what the scholars are saying, all right? God's clock began to tick at Genesis 1:1, where we read in the beginning, where we read in the beginning. Since that beginning moment, God's clock measured the development of God's history to the goal of the fulfillment of his kingdom. God's clock is set to strike very loudly when the clock hits 12 o'clock midnight. And at that particular time, the day of all history will be finished. And Christ will appear on the clouds of glory with his holy angels. In other words, they're talking about a 12-hour time span. Because this is God's clock, God is a timekeeper. God's clock is determined by his counsel. As a result, the movement of the hands on God's clock is far more precise than an atomic clock, and that's these clocks we have here. God's control over time and the history that occurs in time is sovereign and perfect. How many times has God told you, it's not my timing yet? Be still and wait for my timing. He has perfect and precise timing for everything that happens in your life. All that God has willed in his eternal purpose in Christ must and does come to pass in the various hours and minutes on God's clock. Always remember that to God, 1,000 years are as one day. Although New Testament history has now gone on for over 2,000 years, yet in the eyes of God, that span of time is as one day. And 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." How many of us know? Now that God tells us that something's going to happen, and 10 years go by and it still hasn't happened, to him it's a second, according to this, right? It's his timing, not ours. What are the 12 hours on God's clock? What major events mark the beginning and the ends of those hours? The first hour marked God's creation of the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days and included the life of Adam and Eve in paradise and the fall into sin. Now, the second hour began with the beautiful promise of Genesis 3:15 and continued until the time when Cain murdered Abel. The third hour included the time from the birth of Seth to the time when Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. The fourth hour included Noah's departure from the ark until the construction of the Tower of Babel. The fifth hour included the call of Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees until the time when Israel was redeemed from the bondage of Egypt. The sixth hour spanned the history from Israel's deliverance out of Egypt through their wilderness wanderings to the plains of Moab on the east side of the Jordan River. The seventh hour included the crossing of the Jordan River by Israel and their possession of the land of Canaan until the time of the judges, when every man did that which is right in his own eyes. The eighth hour included the time from the kingdom of David and Solomon until the captivity of Judah into Babylon for 70 years. The ninth hour includes, see there, that's one day to God, 70 years. The ninth hour includes the history of Judah's return from captivity until the birth of John the Baptist. The tenth hour includes the time from the birth of Christ until his death upon the cross and his burial. The 11th hour includes the time from his resurrection until his ascension into heaven. Now the 12th hour began, we're in the 12th hour. The 12th hour began when Christ ascended into heaven and poured out his spirit upon the church on the day of the fulfillment of Pentecost. Can there be any more hours upon God's clock? No, there can be no more hours. We are living in the 12th hour. And at the end, we're going to read about the virgins. And God gave me that scripture years ago. And he said that was a time frame that we were living in when the people were supposed to be filling their lamps with oil, and they were not. Some were and some were not. And that's what that scripture was all about. Now, the Lord said in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. This is what Peter said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Peter said that. In the New Testament, he told him right then and there, the end of all things is at hand. So it was already started, right? When I was born again, God told me that we were living in the days of Noah. And as the days of Noah were, so are we living in right now. And that's been, that was 1977. And I know that we were living in the days of Noah before 1977. Now, this verse that we just read in 1 Peter 4:7, this verse teaches us that the goal of history is not a very long distance down the road of history. Rather, we stand tonight at the doorstep in the goal of history. In other words, God is working out the plans for the final coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you understand why we're doing street ministry? Do you understand why the glory drop has to occur? Why the great influx of the harvest has to occur? It's because we are in the 12th hour. We are in the end time hour. All right, I said the goal of history is the next major thing on God's clock that must come to pass. It is the next major thing that must come through the doorway of history. Although there are important things that yet must come to pass, nevertheless, all these events in the final hour only serve the grand event to be revealed by the Lord very quickly when the clock of God strikes 12. Looking at God's clock now, what is the exact time? The Lord, through the apostle, teaches us that it is the last time, or we can translate that this way, it is the final hour. Major hours have passed, especially the one fundamental to the whole clock sequence. Christ has come into our flesh, in our human nature. Our mediator has taken it upon himself, the curse due to our sin, and carried the weight of our guilt, and nailed it to the cross in that hour of darkness when he was forsaken by God. That hour was the hour of our redemption. That was the hour of our justification upon the legal basis of Christ's obedience. That is the hour which made God's clock for us, the clock of our salvation. Now, Christ has risen, ascended, and poured out his spirit upon the church that we are in the final hour. When the final hour is finished, Christ will appear boldly with his angels. Bodily with his angels. He will call the dead from the graves and raise the righteous into our heavenly bodies for everlasting immortality. Then we shall stand before the judge to be judged publicly. Then the wicked shall receive their eternal reward of their hour of everlasting horror in hell. Later we shall witness Christ create the new heavens and earth. Remember, we're going to come back down with him, rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we shall shout for joy at the wonder of the dawning of that everlasting day in the new heavens and earth. There in our eternal home, we shall enjoy that everlasting day in which the Son of Righteousness shall shine forever. But where are we in this final hour? We cannot be at the beginning, that's for certain. We stand before God's clock as revealed in Scripture, and it shows that we are in the last few minutes of the final hour. The body of Christ is not ready if Jesus Christ was to return right now. The where I didn't put the scripture down, I should have, it said that they'll be working out in the field. They'll just be going around everyday life. They won't be thinking about anything but what they're doing. And all of a sudden, there will come Jesus. Are you really ready for that day? We should be living. This is what one of the things that the fear of the Lord is. We should be living every second of every day as if Jesus was going to come right at that given time. I don't know about you, but I really fear the fact that I would work so hard to make heaven my home, and at the very last second, I would lose it because of some dumb thing I just did. And that was the second that Jesus came back for his people. Amen. What time is it? The exact time. At the sound of the faithful preaching of the gospel is the final few minutes of the final hour. At the sound of the faithful preaching of the gospel. The abundant, or point number two, the abundant evidence. One of the indications that we are in the last hour is what the apostle mentions in the rest of verse 18 in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So when you see the signs of the Antichrist, then we know it is the last hour. 5 years ago, I looked up 5 years ago, God told me the Antichrists are already on the earth. The Antichrist with the S on the end. The Antichrist has not yet entered, but at that point he told me they were already here. An Antichrist is one who is not only opposed to Christ, but in various ways also says that he is Christ. An Antichrist proclaims that he has salvation and that he is Christ. The Antichrist impersonates the Savior and mediator between God and man. Antichrist often boasts that they can do miracles and in the place of Christ forgive people's sin upon earth and establish for them peace on the basis of man's righteousness. Antichrists even allow men to worship them. The Apostle John declares that there are many Antichrists in the world. There were self-proclaimed saviors that threatened the church already in the first century of the early New Testament church. Nevertheless, they could be easily detected because they denied the truth of Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and denied the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ with their heresies and false teachings. We see that in the world today. When we look out into present history, we can see in the light of God's truth that not only are there many antichrists out there, but also the development of the world and church world towards the antichrist. There are many antichrists. There are the antichrists today who claim many powers and rights which only belong to Christ. There are the antichrists of many one-man cults. There are many antichrists in the church world who suddenly declare that they have found a new gospel which will bring peace because the old gospel and the old traditions are no longer effective and do not work anymore. They're writing a new Bible because this Bible that we have is not working, so they're writing a new Bible. Christ warned us not to be deceived by those who declare, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ. There are many antichrists and their false gospels in the world. Yet the Antichrist is also on his way. And from everything you read, they are preparing him somewhere to come on the scene. God told me years ago that I need to be watching what goes on overseas, because what's going on overseas is a sign of the end times. It's not here in America, but it's overseas that we need to be watching what's going on. And I've been watching what's going on. If you watch what's going on, it's the end time battles, is it not? And they're being fulfilled all over the place, are they not? And see, people don't even want to believe that. The church doesn't want to believe anything that is the truth. They just want to believe what makes them feel good. You really need to learn to hear the voice of God and hear it very clearly. Especially if you're a leader and you're out there leading people, you have to know that you know that you know that you've heard God's voice, and that he is leading, guiding, and directing. I sat down last night and I said, God, I need a word, because he told me that he wanted us to put stuff in the bulletin instead of putting what everybody else is saying in the bulletin. And I said, God, you know, it's filled full of what you said before. I need a right now word. And so God gave me the right now word that's in the bulletin. if you don't hear God's voice, God's not going to be able to do that at the last minute, because it was a last-minute thing, wasn't it, Nancy? It was a last-minute thing. I said, we have to change the bulletin around because it's not the way God wants it. We even have to have our bulletin the way God wants it. We just can't put a bulletin together. We labor over the pictures we put on the front of it. You know, it has to be what God wants, not what we want. So you don't understand, if you're really going to live in the Spirit, then live in the Spirit. Be led and guided by the Spirit, and quit being led and guided by your flesh. Quit doing what you think's good. What you think is good might be good to you, but it's not good to God, and it's not going to do anything for God's kingdom. All right, I said, even lawlessness and the breakdowns of law and order in society, which becomes more frequent, right, only serve to prepare the way for the man who will proclaim that he is a savior for all the world's problems and that he will establish real lasting peace on earth among the nations of the earth. And we've been told that this is what he'll do, right? From the viewpoint of the development of the Antichrist, we are in final minutes of the final hour. I think about those people who God is preparing to stay behind when a rapture occurs. Those people have to be so close to God that nothing else can come between them and God. They have to hear God's voice very, 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 very clearly, because they are the ones that's going to help people escape and receive Christ right before they're killed. And if you can't be that person now, God's not going to use you whenever the rapture occurs either. See, you're supposed to have been getting yourself prepared all these years to be that vessel that God wants to use you to be. You weren't supposed to be just sitting around doing nothing, twiddling your thumbs. You were supposed to be allowing God to change and rearrange you. There are other indications which show us that it is the final hour. The world's cup of iniquity is filling rapidly, is it not? There are many signs of that which we can see. The world's boldness in its sin continues to gain strength. Some of the things I'm reading just blows my mind. In fact, I don't even bother finish reading them. They're not worth reading. The world's boldness in declaring that its lie of evolution is the truth continues to strengthen. Now they're talking about that all over again. I've noticed one thing. In this 40-year dispensation of time, they are bringing back the things that they were doing in the last 40 years. And they are bringing them back to the forefront. And now they're trying to add to those things to make people believe the lie instead of the truth. If you watch, you can see this is happening. The world's wickedness in the sins of adultery, fornication, and other sins of the Old Testament, Sodom, continue to define society more and more. There can hardly be more room in the world's cup of iniquity. And I was reading some Christian church, the one that Gabriel goes to, sent me a listing of things that the churches nowadays are teaching our children, and I'm so glad that my child is not in the regular schools. I can't believe what they're teaching them and going to make them do them. I just can't believe what they're doing. The open expression of man's total depravity cannot descend much deeper. Can it? Say no. We just went through the Conquer series, right, about perversion. It seems that sin has not much further to descend in order to reach the point where the Antichrist declares himself to be God and demands that everyone worship him. Besides that, there is evidence that we are in the final hour by the many disasters that take place in the creation as Christ prophesied. Developing apostasy in the church world is another piece of evidence that we are in the final hour. What our forefathers in the Reformation gained for us in their defense of the truth of Scripture, present leaders in the church world are giving up. You know, our forefathers, you know, brought Christ into everything. Now our leaders today are taking him out of everything. They're doing away with everything that they fought for. According to this sign of apostasy, it is clear that we cannot be at the beginning of the final hour, but at the very end of the final hour. I would not be teaching this tonight if I didn't know that I know that I know that God told me that we were in the final hour a while back, and that Jesus, that we are now preparing the people for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, and I wouldn't be teaching this if I didn't know that I know that I know that we are the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the people to receive the second coming of Jesus Christ. See, I have confidence, enough confidence in God to know that He is leading, guiding, and directing me, because He's called me as Second John the Baptist to do the things that John the Baptist did to bring Jesus on the scene the first time. And you have to have enough confidence in what you're hearing God tell you, what He wants you to do, to help prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ, that you'll go forth with boldness and you will proclaim liberty to the captives and watch them be set free. All right, finally, the preaching of the gospel is a sign that we are not at the beginning of the final hour, but at the end. One may argue that the purity of that gospel has not always been what it should. In other words, people are preaching the gospel and they're perverting it. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." This means that the preaching of the gospel is also a sign of what time it is. It is a clear sign that we are not at the beginning of the final hour on the day of Pentecost, but we are in the final few minutes of the purpose of Pentecost. The purpose of Pentecost was to begin the gathering of the elect households and their seed from every nation, peoples, tribe, and tongue, as many as God has ordained unto eternal life and so wills to call savingly by grace. In other words, Pentecost was to bring, it's another harvest, like we're doing right now. And we are in the days of Pentecost once again, gathering in the harvest. But the reason why the harvest is not being gathered is because the church is messed up. All right, so whenever the days of Pentecost was, there was 130 people right in the upper room. Out of the 500, 130 stayed. I think that's how it states. But those 130 went out, and everywhere they preached, people were saved. So see, these people were drastically saved and touched by God. And you have to be drastically touched by God in order to have the anointing to go out there and get the people saved. What, the first day they had 300 saved, right? This is what God is wanting to do right now, and this is why He's upset with the church, because the church is not living a holy enough life to, that He can send them out there and win the lost to Him. All right, so then, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This means that the preaching of the gospel is also a sign of what time it is. Where am I supposed to be at? The purpose of Pentecost? Yeah. The purpose of Pentecost was to begin the gathering of the elect households and their seed from every nation, peoples, tribe, and tongue, as many as God has ordained unto eternal life and so wills to call savingly by grace. This gathering in has been going on throughout the history of the church since the day of Pentecost. Because of this gathering, the hands of God's clock move ever closer to the strike of 12 and the completion of the final hour. When the 12 is reached, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be filled with His elect children. Now, I started a while back, if you notice, I use a lot of scriptures when I'm teaching. And I said, God, why do you have me use all these scriptures when I've never done this before? You know, I've read a verse or two, but never the entire scripture. He said, my gospel must be preached. And then when I was studying this, I understand what He's doing. This is the end time hour. This is the final hour. And He wants His words to be placed out there. Not people's, but His word. All right, the third point is our godly response. Our response should not be unbelieving. We should not be unbelieving. We should believe. Tonight, the world parties like the world before the flood. The world continues in its merrymaking as though there is no judgment day. The world continues to praise the goodness of man and the great men of the past year. The world celebrates in the hypocrite's hope that it shall live forever without the true and eternal God and without any necessity for a day of reckoning with the judge. I'm going to stop here because somebody told me that they asked somebody, Have you ever seen God? And they said, every time I look in the mirror. I would be scared to death to make that statement. I really would. I think they were just jesting, but I wouldn't even do that in jest. So I told the person, nobody can see God and live. And that person that said that is not God. Amen. I'm asking that you not join with the world and stand in awe of the clocks of the world and its works, but stand in awe, you know, it's A-W-E, of God's clock, which moves quickly to 12. Please do not try to calculate the exact time of the return of Christ in our clocks and calendars. Rather, we must watch the signs of Christ's coming and know that he is coming through them every day. I am asking you tonight not to be deceived. We are in the final hour. Now, I know people are saying, you know, 50 years down the road, these things are going to occur. I don't know. I really don't. I just know one thing. We don't just sell everything we have and go sit in the mountaintop. We just get up every day and live our normal lives. And when God decides to bring Jesus back a second time, he will. Amen. So we have to continue our life. But we also have to get ourselves prepared for the second coming. We live our life, but we live it in Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, our response must not be a terrifying fear tonight. You can't sit around in fear saying, oh, you know, I might miss the rapture. You can't sit around and think that. If you do that, it's because you're not living right. If you're living right, you won't even think about it. You'll just go on and do what you're supposed to be doing. Remember, this clock is a clock of your salvation. When the clock strikes 12, that is the sound of our final redemption. That is true because he who has died for us shall deliver us from this dark night and exalt us into the everlasting heavenly light of his new creation. God said, I'm going to take you out of the darkness. You know, I hear that, but it finally dawned on me he's going to take us out of this world into his light. We're going to have to live in this world and its darkness, guys. We just are going to have to. But we don't have to be of the world. We can live in it, but not be of it. We don't have to do what the world does. We don't have to talk like they do, act like they do. But we have to stay here until Jesus decides to take us home. And God told me your rapture is the day you die. So, you know, Nancy's mother's rapture was Thursday morning. The day she went on to be with the Father. It isn't going to be down the road, but it was that day. That makes a lot of sense, does it not? God commands that we do two things in response to our understanding of the time. First, continue to watch the signs of the coming of Christ daily. Look for them by faith. Second, pray that God grant you his grace to be faithful in this final hour. Second, pray that God grant you his grace to be faithful in this final hour. This is a final hour in which the persecution upon the faithful church shall be increased to levels which the church has not known before. It's already happening overseas, but God has said it's going to also come to America, where we're going to have to decide who we're really going to serve. I just thank God that right now I'm not going through what they're going through overseas. I really do, and I pray for those people all the time. Jesus commanded us, pray lest ye enter into temptation. Pray lest ye enter into temptation. As the temptations of the world and Satan around and tempt us to deny our Lord and to walk in ungodliness and in false doctrine, let us pray earnestly for the Lord's preserving grace. In other words, the things around about you are trying to pull you into them. You know, the devil's always trying to steal your salvation. He's always trying to put something before you to make you lose your salvation. You have to be ever watchful with that. Tonight, the devil decided to work through Isaiah during praise and worship, and I had to keep binding that devil. He just pops up his ugly head anytime he wants to. But I can't, you know, I have to keep my faith. I have to keep my saving grace and just continue to bind that thing that's working in him. Are you listening here? Rejoice that although this final hour will be the church's most difficult hour, yet it will be at the same time the grace of God's finest hour. Let's read that again. Rejoice that all, and God keeps telling us to rejoice, doesn't he? in the daily words, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. So rejoice that although this final hour will be the church's most difficult hour, yet it will be at the same time the grace of God's finest hour. Trust that God will continue to bless his remnant. You know, just believe that God is, we're the remnant, right? There's many church, remnant churches around, and we are part of the remnant. And just keep praying that, and trust that God will continue to bless us in our endeavors to serve him without falling. And I was thinking the other day about the church, and I was thinking that, you know, God told me when we first started that we was a Philadelphia church, and the Philadelphia church was small but faithful. Right? And I just thank God that we are small but faithful. And that we are doing the things God's calling us forth to do. Rejoice that he who calls you his little children will at the strike of 12 bring you into his eternal home. God calls us his little children, but when the final hour strikes, he's going to gather us into his arms and take us on home. Trust that he will by his spirit live within you, with his light protecting and preserving you, his blood-bought flock through the coming generations, and that he will preserve his little remnant through the final few minutes of history until the clock strikes 12. We need to trust that God knows who we are, that we are his remnant, we are his called and his chosen, and that he is working with us, and it doesn't matter what he allows Satan to do around us, he's going to protect us and keep us. Amen. You know, I've gotten to the point, you always plead the blood of Jesus over Isaiah and Gabriel at night. And I've got to the point, I wrap him in a blanket of blood, because God always said, never forget the blanket of blood. And I seal it so tight, nothing can get into it. And then I say to their guard, everybody has a guardian angel, right? I said, all right, you angel, that's been a sign. I'll say to Isaiah, because I do them separately. I want you to watch over him, and don't you let any spirit of darkness come anywhere near him. I don't want to hear him have a bad dream. I sort of threaten him. Yeah, and yet my kids sleep so peaceful all night. In fact, if they do dream, they laugh. They're having good, happy dreams. But I think we need to protect our children from the evil one while they're sleeping, and so the evil one can't come in and bombard their minds, right? I get adamant about that, too, because they're supposed to protect that child that they're assigned to. So what time is it? It is the final hour, and now even closer to its fulfillment at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And this is where God told me years ago, this is where the church was. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept in the church. And God keeps saying, get out of the spirit of lethargy. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Remember, God told me, nobody's going to ride in your coattail. So you guys can't ride in my coattail, and I can't ride in yours. We all have to have our own oil. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. You know, go get your own oil. Get your own anointing. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And when God told us that the river was running deep and wide, and those who didn't get in and were standing on the shore bank watching, there was going to come a time when they were going to try to get in and couldn't. And I really believe that refers back to the 10 virgins. Some of the church is playing, and some of the church is very serious. Only you know which side you're on. Either you're on the foolish side or you're on the serious side. Either you're listening intently to what God is saying and you're obeying him and doing what he's calling you to do, or you're fooling around thinking you have all the time in the world to get it right. And when you really don't, you really don't. Do you know at any given second you can lose your salvation? God told me that his daughter, at any given second, anyone can lose their salvation. And this once saved, always saved is really from the Antichrist. So, you know, while you're out there fooling around thinking, oh, you know, and God just kept giving me Samson the other day. So somebody is fooling around with their anointing, and they're doing things they shouldn't do, and then shaking herself, and the anointing is still there. And one day it's going to be like Samson. There's not going to be any anointing. You're going to be lost and undone. So if that's you, I'd be shaking in my boots right now. I would really have the fear of the Lord, and I sure wouldn't want to spend eternity in hell, not even a split second. And if you are fooling around with your salvation, you are in really deep trouble. Why do you think that you have the right to fool around with your salvation? Why do you think that you can do the things you want to do and still think God's going to bless you? Yeah, we have to be living right for God. We have to be living a holy life for God. We're supposed to be a witness to everybody we come in contact with of what Jesus is really like. And right now, Jesus is really tired of his people being walked all over. He, you know, you've given and you've given and you've given and you've given, and the enemy just keeps taking and taking and taking. And God is tired of that. And he's told me that door is closing quickly. The enemy is no longer going to be able to take from you, because God is trying to bless you and not curse you. So where are you at tonight on God's timetable, on his time clock? Where are you at? Are you ready for if the sky was split open, would you go with him? Because if you're left behind, you're left behind, you know. There's no trailer kite flag or tail or something going to be hanging down for you to jump on. You know, you're just going to be left behind. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Father God, I thank you tonight for your teaching on what time is it. I thank you, Father God, these people sit and listen so intently. And Father God, I thank you that a seed has been planted into their spirit, man. And Father, I don't want any to miss that final second when you send your son to gather your people home. So if there's anyone in this place tonight, Father God, that's not ready, Father God, speak to their spirit and get them ready. And then, Father God, keep them ready. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you for it. And we give you all honor and all glory. In Jesus' holy, mighty name, we thank you.